Get started with our second lesson here on spiritual gifts. Steve, you want to pray for us? Amen. All right. Any questions from last week's lesson? As you were able to meditate and ponder on some things, anything come up in your mind?
Just to remember that there's a lot of things that we're to do, to be gracious, to be that maybe somebody sort of gifting, but we may have to go to be hospitable.
Yep, exactly. Yep, so a modern word we use is mindfulness, right? Got to be mindful of things that we might not be good at. We have to do it anyways. So just because it might not be my gift or I don't naturally want to do it, that doesn't mean that you get out of it for free. You have to fight that and know, say, hey, the Bible says these truths. I'm going to do what the Bible says. Yep. All right, so just a reminder on the scriptural text for gifts. I always find it interesting. I look for themes when I read. I look for systems. And these gifts are only in three books. So if you only got the letter, if you were in Thessalonica, that's the only letter you got, how much of these gifts would you know? What would have Paul taught? Right? Interesting to think about, right? So if you're at Philippi, there's no gifts to Philippi or Colossians. I'm sure he's teaching them. I'm sure he is. But they're not in their letters as a reminder. I would hope so. That's kind of what I default on is, you know, maybe they're doing them right, so they don't have any problem with it. So before I go down, look in the box there where it talks about the nature of the gifts. On the left-hand side, you see sign gifts. And I might even put knowledge in there too, because I remember in 1 Corinthians 14 it talks about knowledge going away. But anyways, on the right hand are stewardship gifts. Those are more like, yeah, stewarding, administering, doing practically. Now you'll see a number next to those words. So a lot of them just have one, right? That just means it's only mentioned in one book. So it's not in 1 Corinthians, Romans, and Ephesians. It's only in one of them. Okay, so wherever you see a one, that gift is only mentioned in one of these three books, Romans, Corinthians, or Ephesians. Now there's a couple that are mentioned in all three, and those are teaching and prophecy. So I find that interesting. Right? There's a pattern there. So two of the top ones are mentioned three times. And then apostleship is mentioned twice, but I mean, Paul uses his letter, he addresses himself as an apostle in almost every letter, right? So, but as far as gifts being given, most of these are only mentioned in one book. So that means that some of these gifts aren't being told as a reminder to the Romans, or the Corinthians, or the Ephesians, right? Now when we think about gifts, we have a collage in our mind. And this might not be you, but I think us as a society and as a nation lump all of these as if every single church had them and addressed them. And that's not true. They're only addressed one time, mainly for most of them. But just food for thought, right? Why would Paul do that? You know, he's very articulate in what he does. But it's good to know, like, each body has a specific tone being set for it. Well, that lets me know personally that there probably doesn't need to be, every single church needs to be like Corinth, right? Every single church doesn't need to, as far as gifts go, in that category, gifts, right? So some churches might not have needed those training wheels, because we'll see coming up in 1 Corinthians 14 that prophesying is going to cease, tongues are going to cease, and knowledge will vanish away. Those three things, didn't mention all the gifts. Just those three are going to go away when that which is complete has come. Now, we don't know what that complete is, but it can't be all the gifts going away, or else Paul would have mentioned all those gifts in 13. But he only mentions three of them that are going to go away, go bye-bye. Go ahead, Don.
What was the third one?
It's going to be prophesying, tongues, and knowledge.
Why would knowledge go away?
We'll look into that. I can give my theory on the knowledge in the context of gift-giving. Right? Not that we don't have knowledge, because Paul, in his prayer request, is praying that Ephesus and Philippi, maybe even Colossae, that they increase in knowledge. He's praying that they will be enlightened and grow in knowledge. Now, I think it has to do more with a spiritual gift given, that I know certain things that I can explain to someone else. It's not written down, or it might not be, our group might not know these things, but I have these truths to teach our group. Now, as these truths are being taught more and more and more, you know, that gift might go away because now it's commonplace. I don't know. I have some theories. But this is where it gets kind of fun. Yeah. Yep. Any questions so far? We want to understand and learn before we move on to anything. All right, so how many gifts can a believer have? I told you this before. I think that a believer has at least one, but I think they can have more than one. Now, Paul had several gifts, right? We can look at a few right here. Paul, we know, was an apostle. We don't got to look far for that. You know, he addresses his letters. You know, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not chosen by men, but of God, right? Paul had the gift of tongues, and to prove that, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Isn't that good? Yep.
Yeah, they aren't stewardship.
Nope. Exactly. And I think the sign gifts, and we'll go through this more and more, but I'll say it now. I think the sign gifts were really used to have a foundation for the church. And as the church is founded and grows, those sign gifts get less and less. And I'll show my reasoning behind that with Paul coming up here in a little bit. But yep, so I think a lot of the sign gifts were used to establish the church, to get it going. Signs are used to establish the truth that I'm saying is backed up by power, right? Backed up with something that your gods don't have, right? That's what we want to look at. So he was an apostle, okay? We see that he had the gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. He says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul has that gift. Okay, he can go to any region when he's traveling, any port city, wherever he's going. He has that supernatural gift to be able to speak their language and give them the truths of God. Pretty cool, right? That's pretty cool. So we know he had the gift of tongues, able to speak in wherever region he was at. Now think about that, right? I mean, he went to Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Macedonia, Achaia, Thessalonica, like all these regions, right? They all have different languages, different dialects. It doesn't get brought up a whole lot in day-to-day Christian speaking, but Paul was able to speak to all these people everywhere he went. Okay, when he went to the island of, where did he go? Was it Crete? Patmos? Hey, it was a couple of islands, right? One of them was, what island was that? Mileta? Malta? I can't remember now how it's pronounced. Yeah, but he went there. They were shipwrecked. The bundle of sticks, the snake bit him, right? He could speak their language. He actually used his gift to heal the chief. So anyways, pretty cool. Yep, so he could speak in tongues. We'll look on down here to miracles. We'll go to Romans 15. Romans 15. And verse 18. Now in the King James, it's going to say miracles, but here it says wonders. But verse Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, however you pronounce that word, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So as Paul is going out, he has the gift of miracles, okay, to do signs and wonders and different things. As he's telling these truths about Jesus, preaching the gospel, he's able to back it up with these signs, right? With this power. We see this also with Philip in Acts chapter 8. When he goes down to up to Samaria. Yeah, he goes to Samaria, and he's there. He's preaching about Jesus, and he does signs and wonders, and he's doing all these great things, and they get to the Spirit at that time was laying on of hands, and Simon the sorcerer wanted that gift, right? And he coveted it. Anyways, so it wasn't just Paul, but Paul did have that. Okay, healing, Acts 28. Paul had the gift of healing. So my point is, I'm showing you that I think you can have, I know Paul isn't probably the best example of this, but you can have more than one gift. So Acts 28, verse 8. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and, placing his hands on him, prayed and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So Paul did it to Publius' father. When news broke out that Paul could do this, all the sick came, and Paul laid his hands on them and healed them. Pretty neat, isn't it? Pretty cool. And last one here, he had the gift of prophecy, which we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15 for this one. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's a future event that Paul's talking about, right? Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't even happened in our time. That's something he's saying is going to happen in the future. So he's prophesying this, right? Now, when someone's given a prophecy, they're not going to say, I have a prophecy. They just start saying the truth, and whether that truth is for here or future, kind of can show if it's prophecy or not, right? Does that make sense what I'm saying? So any questions on those real quick before we move on? Any thoughts? No?
I sometimes think also about Peter when he ends that it says that, you know, people would just try to be in his shadow.
Yep. Yep, exactly. That Peter's healed people. Right? Back in Acts chapter 3 or 4, and it caused a whole uproar. And they were like, hey, this is Jesus, again, whom you killed. We'll give him glory. Yep, Peter is able to heal people. Yep, exactly. So moving on down to the next paragraph, Paul also encourages the believers at Corinth to desire spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 14:39, he tells the believers to covet prophecy. So 1 Corinthians 14, he says that, hey, you guys need to desire spiritual gifts. You guys need to desire these things. And he goes through the good and bad, but he explains to them at the end of 39 that, hey, it's better to covet after prophecy than speak in tongues. Because even though I can speak in tongues, and there's no one here that has that language to be able to hear it, it's going nowhere. Right? So you can show off that you have that gift, but it's not for you to show off that you have it. It's to be used to help someone else. That's the whole point of of Paul's correction here at Corinth with these gifts is, if you have the gift and there's no one around you that can benefit from it, then you don't do it. There's no need. So there were times when everyone spoke the same language, and all the tongue speakers were speaking in German or, you know, Ethiopian, but there was no one there to benefit from them, so there's no need to do it. So Paul was saying, listen, if there's no one there, don't do it, because it's to edify and build the body. If there's no building up, then it's best just to be quiet. Which gives us the principle, there's a lot to be said in silence. A lot to be said in silence. Any thoughts on that? Now, when I looked at all these gifts and I wrote them all down, there came out to 20 gifts. There's 20. 20 gifts. Okay. The first one, we'll go to the left side. We see apostleship. And whenever we see it in Corinthians and Ephesians, okay, it's the one that's first place in order. So God gave first apostles, right? First apostles. Now he gave them, so they actually go from Old Testament to New Testament, don't they? They're alive with Christ, the original 12, are alive with Christ in the Old Testament. They go with him through his death and resurrection, and they're with him after his resurrection. And he teaches them some things to move forward. And now in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, they're told to wait till the Holy Spirit comes on them. Then they go, do what they're told. Then they go witness. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth or world. Right? So just because I walked with Jesus, just because I say the apostles, knew his teachings, just because they could go out and teach what they knew, they shouldn't do it. Right? So there's an order of what God wants to do. I want you to wait 50 days, I'll give the Holy Spirit, then go. Then go. Okay? So he gives first apostles, then he gives prophets. Then he gives prophets. What do you think that is? Actually, so you guys can see it, go to Ephesians chapter 4. So you guys can see the order here. Ephesians 4. Which is different than 1 Corinthians when he gives the order. We'll go to 1 Corinthians here in a little bit too. But in verse 11, it gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But that's the beginning, right? To lay the foundation. So you see there, even in laying the foundation of the church, even in laying the foundation of the basic death, burial, and resurrection, right? There's an order. It is taking Jesus to explain foundational truths years and years and years for it to come out. Peter, when he established the church, right, was he preaching the mysteries of God? No. Who taught those? Paul taught the mysteries, right? So for about 8 to 10 years, from Acts 2 to Acts 8, about 8 years there, they're only learning that Christ had come, the Messiah, to the people of Israel, to the Jewish nation, right? And the Jewish nation killed him. But don't worry, you can have remission of those sins of killing Jesus, denying your Holy One, those sins specifically, not the sins that you commit, the sins of denying Jesus, killing the Holy One, all those things, if you believe in Jesus. That's the gospel for 8 years for the church. Nothing on gifts. Nothing on Jew and Gentile being one in Christ. Interesting, isn't it? to see how many years it's taking. But there were apostles, there were prophets in the early church to slowly establish these truths. This shows me, too, how much God loves the national people of Israel, to take his time with them, to really make sure that they heard the gospel in Jerusalem, to really make sure that, you know, Jewish proselytes had heard about Jesus. And when you look at the gospel being presented from Acts 2 to Acts 8, even Acts 10, and even in Acts 10, when Peter goes to Cornelius' house and gives the gospel, he says, "This Jesus who came for our people to be a light to the Gentiles also, but he came for our people whom our people killed, you can also believe in him as well." So let's slow. Go ahead, Dave. What are you thinking?
I'm just confused.
Yeah.
He gave some to be apostles, and we know that there were 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. So that would not, they would have been there at Christ's death. So why would Paul be saying, were they adding apostles at that time?
Yep, they added. In Acts chapter 1, they added Matthias.
Yeah, we added Matthias, which gave them the 12 again. Mm-hmm. But was anybody else ever added as an apostle after that thing?
Barnabas, we know, was an apostle also, but we don't know when that happened. We don't have a date for Barnabas. Because Barnabas was an apostle.
Okay.
Yep. But we don't know the qualifications in Acts 2 to fill that void. Was they had to have been with Jesus, and they had to have at least been around that truth since John the Baptist were the qualifications. Now, the only one that was able to come in that didn't have that was Paul. So Paul was able to be an apostle because he was taught by Jesus, you know, one-on-one. He said, "I was an apostle not of men, but by Jesus Christ." So we don't know how long he was away. All we know is there's a 3-year gap from when he got saved and he left and returned to Damascus. We don't know.
I guess what I'm wondering is he's talking about that some were being, some are apostles, and yet there are no more apostles.
Right.
So it would be some had been apostles, not could become apostles.
I don't think so. I think it's only with the 14 or 15 that were selected. Because they were going out also establishing the truth of Jesus. So we know Barnabas and Paul did that for sure to the known world. They traveled together. So those two were going out, and Paul prides himself on saying, "I laid the foundation. I didn't build on anybody else's work. I laid the foundation." So to me, it looks like apostles were given to lay that foundation first. And then prophets come to help with that establishing. So Old Testament, good job. So Old Testament prophecy about Christ coming and dying and raising again. This prophecy moving forward is the ability to have the supernatural ability to take the truth that's not written down and be able to tell others these things are going to happen. Right? So I have the ability to tell people that, hey, trial and tribulation is going to come. You believe in Jesus is going to come. Now, that's just coming from within me. So this prophecy isn't like about Christ coming to die. It's forth-telling, and I know a truth. So I'm listening to Paul teach things, and I'm able to retain all that and teach others and even maybe add to it in the same truth line. Does that make sense?
It does. It's just Christ also said the same thing. He told us that, 28, so we will be persecuted as he was persecuted. So if I'm repeating that, that's not new prophecy.
That's not. So when the church is established, everything is new for them. So a prophecy would be Jew and Gentile being one together, right? So a prophecy is I'm learning these things, and I can forth tell. A lot of it's forth telling, not foretelling. So I have spiritual truth that I can foretell. So I have truths that I can tell you to go, hey, Jesus Christ is God, you know, and I can go back to, and maybe bring Old Testament prophecies, but I have the ability to retain and speak biblical truth. That is not written down yet.
Yeah, I can see foretelling.
Yeah.
The last three, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, make perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would send an evangelist out who would then create pastors who would then create teachers. You know, so there's a logical, in my mind, there's a logical process to that ordering of those last three. The first two I'm going to be troubled with.
Yeah. So my take on the evangelist is they're a part of our church. So they got saved when a group got saved. They just got that gift to now benefit our local body or our area, our region. So it came as a part of a group being saved. So it's a local evangelist. So I don't look at it as someone being sent there. I look at it as, hey, we got saved at the same time. I got this gift. I cannot help but tell people about Jesus. So it's a part of, like, if you were our evangelist. Like, let's say you got saved here, and now you're representing us by just going out constantly. We also witness, but you just do it. You just, every opportunity you come across, you can do it. You get the gospel out in any given conversation. It's just happening. Yeah. Yep. And so the first two kind of slow processes, we see it in a prophecy, a prophet come down in Acts 13, when Barnabas and Paul are in Antioch, a prophet comes down and talks about some things that are going to happen. We don't even know what his name was. Maybe we do. Let's go there. Let's check it out. Let's go to Acts. Let's see what this guy says. Acts 13. It's going to be Acts 11, I think. Yeah, Acts 11, 27. Acts 11, 27. Let's see what it says. I can't remember. Yeah. Acts 11, 27. In these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and prophesied by the Spirit that there would be a great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So here's a guy that talked about a famine coming in the church. So he's warning the church to prepare. That's pretty cool, right? And that's all I got off the top of my head, to be honest. I can't think of anything else.
Would that be sort of like when they were wanting to fall off to go back to Jerusalem because he came down?
A man did come down and say that. Yep, that was another prophecy. Good job. Yep, that, hey, whoever owns this girdle is going to be bound, you know. Yeah, exactly. They end up being Paul's, and so yeah, they were saying, whoa, this is going to happen. And of course, they're telling the wrong guy that, because Paul would say, let's do it then. Yeah. You know? Paul's looking to find a prophecy. Yeah. Yeah, good memory. Excellent. Any others come to our mind as we think about it? New Testament prophecies coming. I mean, outside of Revelation, of course, but we got the rapture, Christ coming. We got Paul prophesying in Acts or in Romans 11 and 12 about Jerusalem will again come to know the Lord and be one; they'll all be saved. Romans 11 and 12, another prophecy. So that's foretelling future events. But I believe it also says in the Greek, forthtelling. So it's just, I'm just repeating what I've been told to a group that doesn't know it. Good questions. Good thoughts. And the more and more you dive into gifts like this, the more and more you realize how much people are relying on each other to build the body up. You know? And you can see how when there's division and I am relying on each other, I don't have Google at my fingertips, that I need to love my brother. I need to love each other. We need to love each other so that we can rely on each other, be consistent, and build this body up. So I can see the more and more I dive into these gifts in really fine detail, the more I see, wow, like people need to, I can see why now there's so much focus on walking in the Spirit. I can see why now there's so much focus on walking in the Lord and renewing my mind and being transformed. It's because, you know, without that, I'm not going to get what I need from being built up if you're not right with the Lord. And you're not going to get what you need from me if I'm not right with the Lord. It's amazing how much you rely on, don't get me wrong, I love the internet. I'm thankful for the internet, I'm thankful for books, I have tons of books. But it just means I have to be careful to not be mindful of relying on individuals in church to have the Lord lift me up. Does that make sense? Yeah. Any more thoughts on that? All right, we'll go to one more section in the sign gifts. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 12. As far as the order goes, as far as the order. Okay, so if we go to 1 Corinthians 12, go down to verse 28. 12:28. You'll see a similar language to Ephesians 4, but a couple things added in here. So 1 Corinthians 12:28, God has put these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and various tongues. So that's the order that God had placed it there at Corinth. See? So a couple of these things weren't at Ephesus. At least if they were, Paul didn't mention them when he's mentioning the order of the gifts that were given. So a few more were added here. And we're going to go through all these gifts. We're going to go through all 20 with a fine-tooth comb and explain every single one in detail and what the Greek definition is for them. But it's neat to see that God is doing things decent and in order, right? He has a process. We can see some of the things that he lays out for us to look at. And when we go and define these miracles, or define these miracles, when we go and define more detail these gifts, we'll because it'll be in our paper, but we'll also look in the scripture to see how these are together. This is how these help each other. There's a reason why helps and helps and governments are together with the apostles, prophets, and miracle working, healing being done. There's a reason why, okay? But these were in this order, these were established in this order for that body at that time. Any questions so far? Okay, here are the gifts, apostle, prophet, miracle worker, healer, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, discernment of spirits, giving, exhortation, ministering or serving, showing mercy, ruling, faith, knowledge, teaching, evangelism, pastor, governments, and helps.
What is government?
Governments, it means to steer or direct like a pilot. To steer or direct like a pilot. So you have the ability to get the group of people. And, you know, let's say you're going to help support a teacher. You're going to help steer people in the right direction. So you're good at that. You're going to take knowing truth, spiritual truth, and helping people understand. You can guide them and funnel them through a certain way to steer like a pilot. Back then it would be a ship. Steering like a ship. So you have that gift to steer people in the right way. Make sense? Well, it's mentioned in one church, and we'll see if it applies to us today. Because when I look at these, I have no presuppositions. If we can use it today, let's use it today. So when I look at something like this, I come in with a clean slate, an open mind, an open heart to say, hey, that these, I don't care what any church has said or taught, what does the Bible actually say? And I'm okay with saying, here's what it says, and here's why I think it's still active today, because I don't see anywhere where it says it's going away or it's done, right? So you have to be confident with these truths that might kind of go against some things that you were taught. If it says it in Scripture, we have to retrain our brain to go, well, it says it here, I can't deny it, there, it's clearly A, B, C, D, I have to accept it. So I'm coming in accepting any of the gifts, I don't care what they are, any of them, until I'm proving that they can't, they're not active for today. So we'll look and see if governance is for today. I'll you know, spoil what I think it is. I think it's still active today, personally. I mean, I've seen people have that are great at guiding people or steering people in the right direction, you know, personally. Any more thoughts?
So I was looking up apostles.
Yeah. Yep, so now you're in the fun area.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fun area is, never says that, mm-hmm. but could be.
Because part of the thing that I was contemplating about that was, you know, Barnabas was given the label of apostle. I don't know why Timothy would have been given it as well, considering their qualifications were almost the same.
Yeah, well, Barnabas was around in the early church. We know that for a fact in Acts 4. So we don't see him mentioned before that.
Yeah, the only thing I'm saying is the young who actually met Christ.
Yeah, he was pretty young. And I mean, he's half Jew, half Gentile.
Oh.
So I don't know. I think all the apostles were Jews, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Well, that but, makes some sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave, will you pray for us?
Father, thank you for the opportunity to come here on this Mother's Day to gather as a body, to love on one another. We thank you that you are in control of everything. We thank you that you have brought us here for this teaching. We just ask, Father, that you help us to understand your gifts, help us to be able to use your gifts in your godly purposes. We just ask this for your son's precious name.
Amen.